welcome back to the program. Air tax, carbon tax, we keep hearing this. Apparently the left, they're not afraid to say the word socialism any longer. They're not afraid to put the two words carbon and tax together, or air tax, same thing, carbon tax. You know, Hillary Clinton is not afraid of, you know, threatening to put coal miners out of work. I mean, the left is feeling pretty chuffed about their whole, you know, radical redistributionist environmental agenda. So chuffed are they that they have teed up 17 attorneys general to threaten to prosecute anybody who would rely on alternative information about, quote, climate change. Now, they are using phrases like these are just simply climate change deniers. But that's not what's going on. What we have is a coordinated effort by multiple different groups on the left, rubber stamped and embraced by candidate Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama. That means to silence dissent, and essentially clear the way for a radical redistributionist environmental agenda. And somebody who's actually very, very well aware of what is going on is Chris Horner. Chris Horner is senior legal counsel for a group called Energy and Environmental Legal Institute. He's on the phone with me right now to talk about specifically what those attorneys general are doing. And, you know, and they're doing under the cloak of secrecy. They are doing it with support from very, you know, very deep pocketed left wing billionaires. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, you know, this is just, you know, what they're trying to do, I think, is clear the way, you know, clear a path for a carbon tax, clear a path for a radical redistributionist agenda, because in the free marketplace of ideas, these guys fail time and time again. So, you know, step number one, if I were thinking of a way to get something everybody hated enacted into policy, I'd silence the people who were telling everybody how bad it is.
Right. We've seen them use fiat and other backdoor measures to impose an agenda that they cannot obtain through the proper democratic process, which is important to remember. There is a way to do this, and they can't. And so we've seen EPA's backdoor rules and so on because Congress didn't act, which is the new constitutional governing philosophy. Well, they didn't act, so I can't. Now we see them abusing law enforcement offices to use racketeering investigations, the threat of investigations to go after what is plainly political speech. So it's an abuse, and you know, I'm old enough to remember Bill Clinton trying to get this before he was somewhat chastened by the 1994 midterm elections. He tried to get – they called it a BTU tax back then, if you recall. And this just runs in their blood. They've been trying to get this energy tax, carbon tax, for decades because it is – I mean, that – A, it won't get smaller. Guess which way? Up or down, it will go. It is an enormous – I mean, everybody relies on energy. Obviously, it hurts seniors and the poor, anybody on a low and fixed income, anybody in a cold weather state. First and worst, but man, the revenues, if you get an energy tax and it's just start ramping
huge,
it up.
Huge. And imagine how rapidly government would expand. And you've, if anybody thinks that $19 trillion in debt would somehow, you know, dissipate because we had a massive energy tax, it would always grow. You're deluding yourselves. But let's talk about specifically what these attorneys general are doing. Because you also have, you know, you are with Competitive Enterprise Institute directly targeted by these attorneys general. And what are they asking for from you guys? And how are they, you know, essentially trying to wield that bludgeon of law enforcement against your group?
Well, one of the 17 attorneys general involved in this cabal, who's pact of steel, their pact of secrecy we just obtained, was the Virgin Islands attorney general. He had asked CEI and others for 10 years of records from 20 years ago. Everything. I mean, everything. And it was sweeping, and it obviously not accidentally swept up correspondence with donors, which, as you know, has been a target of theirs in recent years, including by some AGs. And California is one of them. Wisconsin had an issue with this, as I recall, where they wanted to target the donors to out them because they have a wonderful intimidation campaign going. The left is very schooled in that. And that's how, another way to – you'll notice the theme here is we can't win if there's a debate, so there must be no debate. In fact, sometimes they try to just say there is no debate. The debate is over. It's settled. Move on. And when that doesn't work, they'll try to silence you. So one of these AGs from the Virgin Islands who had responded – I got a questionnaire that was sent out to all of these AGs. I got it under the Vermont Freedom of Information Act. And the AGs responded, and the Virgin Islands guy said, well, we just got $800 million from an oil company, Hess, for closing a refinery sooner than we wanted. Somewhat contradictory objectives here. And we are looking for, we are seeking other potential litigation targets. So there's a payday. There's a big settlement they're hoping for. And he wanted records and obviously all that would flow from leaking these records from whomever. Once a bunch of AGs got them, there's already been a website set up for these called climateleaksdocs.com. And they're just waiting for some AG to use a Gmail account. And I have some of their Gmail accounts, by the way. I found that some of them are using them for certain work-related correspondence to leak these records because this is what they do. John Doe, of course, shorthands it in Wisconsin.
Yep.
So he wanted CEI's records when the disinfectant of sunlight was shined upon the U.S. Virgin Islands AG. He backed off. I'm informed reliably that Eric Schneiderman, the New York AG, is calling reporters, flipping out, saying, stop writing these stories that I'm, you know, there's potential criminal liability here. If two or more people conspire to violate the First Amendment or other civil rights of others, it's actually a violation of the criminal code, as well as subjects him to civil penalties and so on. And he's yelling at reporters saying, I'm not the one going after First Amendment rights. That's Claude from the Virgin Islands. I'm just going after corporations. So you can see, including by the efforts to hide their secrecy pact, they know this doesn't look good if people see it, which is why they don't want us to.
Yeah,
see it.
Let's talk about the secrecy pact. What do you mean by secrecy pact? They literally signed a confidentiality pact that they were not going to be disclosing what their plans were, even though it was obvious what their plans were.
Not to us or people who ask for records under public records laws, because, as you know, some public public universities, attorneys general and other public institutions have been deliberately covered by freedom of information laws. Very wisely, we now see. And so with that in mind, I think they signed what they're calling a common interest agreement, which common interest agreements are common. You have to have a common legal interest. It's got to have a closely, clearly defined scope and so on. And they drafted this agreement, which is not a common interest agreement, it is not at all common, covering, I'll just read you, they're creating a privilege, they're claiming secrecy for any discussions among themselves and anybody they share it with, if everybody agrees. So in other words, Tom Steyer, his lawyer, NextGen Climate, the Greenpeace guys, the Rockefeller people we know are involved, the lawyers they've got involved, yeah, you can share with them when everybody puts in their hand and says go, but just not the taxpayer under a Public Records Act. And so they said, if we discuss, number one, buried in paragraph one, Roman one, potentially taking legal actions to compel federal regulation on greenhouse gases, potentially taking legal actions to defend federal regulation on greenhouse gases, potentially conducting investigations of, it goes into representations made by companies, people who are insufficiently enthusiastic about imposing renewable energy, fossil fuel investigations. I mean, it's just this broad waterfront of subject matters where they're trying to write themselves a get-out-of-FOIA-free card.
Wow. Chris, wow. Did they actually use the word insufficiently enthusiastic?
No,
that's just you.
I turned it into English.
Okay. That would describe people in Wisconsin. That would describe lawmakers in Wisconsin. That would describe groups in Wisconsin. That would describe companies in Wisconsin. The secrecy pact we're talking about here. Describing a target could be any number of interests or entities.
This was not about ExxonMobil.
No, this was about everybody.
That was just their poster child. This was about, for example, Roman 3. If you sought to limit or delay the implementation and deployment of renewable energy technology, you too could be subject to an investigation by this cabal.
Scott Walker. Enter our governor. Could easily have been, and maybe already is, absorbed into this, you know, as a target of these attorneys general. Their goal is to find the donors, right, Chris? They want to find the donors. They want to humiliate and shame the donors. They want to use the bludgeon to essentially get anybody else who might be interested in saying something that does not agree with, we must have carbon restrictions now. And they want to make that impossible for anybody to fight back against cap and trade, against a carbon tax, fight back against the Clean Power Act, fight back against just simply citing real scientific data, the claims about global warming.
If they call it illegal or potentially illegal, and they're calling our political speech potentially illegal, so it just means anything they don't like. You are the potential subject of this, but worse, they've created this cone of silence that freedom of information laws can't get to, but the party's biggest donor can. If in paragraph 5, Roman 5, if they all agreed that they can share it with him, so here's what we did.
Tom Steyer, by the way, is who we're talking about.
Yes. I asked on Monday, I said, good, give me all discussions suggesting someone to share it with, objecting to sharing it, or consenting to sharing it. And then yesterday I said, now that you've got that, give me everything you shared, because they think they've written themselves out of laws their legislatures wrote them into very wisely. And I suggest by looking at this, they have not. In fact, the New York's version of the Supreme Court, their highest court, which is called the Court of Appeals, just this summer, so June 19th, said, no. You can hide things if it's in – I mean, you can have privilege if it's in anticipation, reasonable anticipation of litigation. And then you look at this very, very broad series of topics that if we discuss, we can hide it. There's no – this was drafted in anticipation of FOIA requests. It was not drafted in anticipation of litigation.
This is a different version and a more expansive version of Wisconsin's John Doe. That's what it is. I mean, what you're seeing is this is the new strategy, that you're going to try to use the arm of the law if you control the arm of the law. Here in Wisconsin, it was four DAs and a bunch of rubber stamp left-wing judges. Now we're talking about 17 attorneys general, multiple other players in this, across states. I mean, does this not beg for a federal investigation?
It does. It goes from California to Maine and many places in between. It is, of course, centered in the Northwest, but it was too extreme for some. Iowa, I have some great emails you're going to read about soon, where they realized they're not going to hitch their wagon to this guy's star. He's bombastic, to be as charitable as you can. But others did sign up. So yes, I've seen emails in where I live, Virginia, of active, pretty far left wing groups saying, hey, who can we get to help convince our attorney general to do this too? This is a tool they're all anticipating, and it's an abusive office. It's abusive law enforcement office. So, yes, this is a proper subject of oversight by the state legislatures, and given what they're doing, given what we've now discovered, federal oversight bodies, whoever has a potential reach into this, because, again, on its face, they're violating civil rights, and they're organizing to do it, with ideologically aligned groups, lawyers, and donors.
Wow. And there's no accountability. There's nobody's going to be held accountable for this. That's the
well,
thing
we're
that's
trying.
Just. I
we're
know
trying.
You're trying. We've been trying here in Wisconsin.
This has moved at light speed. For these things, this has moved at light speed. I mean, I've had their organizing letter dated March 7th for 2 months. We're now moving at light speed, even though they have all gone into the bunker and they've put out the word, make them sue us.
Yeah,
so we've already sued four AGs, and we'll sue as many as we have to. These are public records.
The process is the punishment. That's the phrase that seems to describe an awful lot of this. Really quickly, and I'm listening, I can hear my music rolling here, but you said they asked for anything and everything from CEI, anything and everything regarding communications over a period of 10 years from CEI, anything and everything, your personal email, everything, your, the dollars,
CEI
account.
Records, if they covered various subject matters, which were really the bulk of their work. So yes, effectively everything, and they knew it.
Good to have you on the program. Where can people find out more about what's going on, Chris, so that maybe they have an easier time digesting the big picture?
This information is available at eelegal.org, and CEI.org as well has a lot of relevant work, of course, being targeted.
EE, the two letters, eelegal.org. Chris Horner, my guest, the senior legal counsel for eelegal.org. Thanks for being on the show, Chris.
Thank you.